Do you love baseball? Well, folks, this podcast is for you. Hello, I'm your host, Nanette Weiser. With me today is the author of There Is No Place Like Dome, a fan's host unofficial view from the top of the trop to the stands with the fans. I want to welcome Bruce Reynolds. Welcome.
Hi, Nanette. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to say that you're just, you know, you had such an interesting journey to doing this. You were an international public speaker for 50 years. You did radio broadcasting and speaking to groups ranging from 10 to 1,000. But this is probably your favorite gig. Tell us all about this book from St. Petersburg Press, how it came about, and then we want to hear all the cute details.
Well, it's a different gig. When you're a public speaker, you have your notes in front of you, and you're used to speaking to an audience, and you can change on the fly. When you're writing a book, all of a sudden you've got a different audience, and they have to interpret what you're saying. So it was a great process with St. Petersburg Press. They helped me develop that style, my voice, what it was. Matter of fact, at one point, Amy with St. Petersburg Press said, Bruce, I like your voice, but you're interrupting yourself. And I had no idea what that meant until she told me. She said, if when you're talking face-to-face with someone, you can slightly go off topic and people are good. But if you're writing, you've got to identify it. So there are portions in the book where I put in italics or boxed it in or something like that to allow people to know that I've kind of switched gears a little bit. But that's how I'm used to doing it. I had a kid that I knew 40 years ago who we got contacted in social media, and he bought the book and he said, Bruce, it was like you were still sitting right next to me. So I feel like I've accomplished that in obtaining a voice to do that. And the book, 16 years I've worked at the Trop as what we call fan host. Other stadiums might refer to as ushers. And our goal is to enhance the fan experience. We have nothing to do with what goes on in the field. Now, we can yell about it, we can cheer about it, but you can't. And that's, you know, the dynamic of a sports fan. We yell at people who we don't know, who can't hear us, and we yell profound things like, catch the ball, throw it, hit it, or so forth. And if that's not silly enough, we do the same thing when in front of the TV. That's just the mindset of a sports fan. And sometimes people who aren't sports fans kind of mock us and say, how could you do that in front of a TV? And yet I found they're the same people who will watch a movie and say, don't open that door. Don't go down those steps. So understanding that dynamic of fans can come in as strangers at different ends of the row, sit down, and regardless of socioeconomic, political views or anything else, they're family for the next few hours. Sports brings community. And so that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to relate stories that I had and experienced over 16 years that either touched my heart or tickled it. And I felt like other people needed to know about it.
Well, we're going to get to some of those firsthand experiences, but I want to read something from Bill DeYoung that he said about you. First and foremost, Reynolds is a fountain of puns and dad jokes. He'll wear funny hats, a taco, a sub sandwich, a cheeseburger, post-game concert series was a thing. He dressed like a member of ZZ Top with a long white beard and an inflatable guitar, or a saloon bartender for Country and Western Night. Tell us, how did you get to be so funny and so creative?
And the funny is a very subjective term. What's funny to some people, my kids roll their eyes at me. I told my wife that when we're old and we're retired and we're sitting in the corner someplace and our blankets over my legs trying to stay warm, I'll still be smiling because I think it's funny. And she's told me that the best thing about my sense of humor is I like it. And I do. I wanted to enhance that experience. Baseball is fun for the fan. It's a business for a lot of other people, but for us as fans, it's fun. So one of the things that I got into was the Rays do a promotion with Kane's Furniture, ironically, and when a pitcher or the Rays staff throw 10 strikeouts in a game, there was a giveaway. And when this started, it was pizza. And I thought, there needs to be something fun with pizza. And so I found a flag that said pizza on it. I found a beret that was a pizza hat. And so after 10 strikeouts, I would run down and wave this flag and hold it up and so forth. And it kind of caught on. It got a almost a, a legend in its own time. MLB picked it up. They had a filming of me going down the steps with the crazy pizza hat and cheering and all those kind of things. And it was a lot of fun. It probably got to its peak when one day somebody gave me, so you have to go to Kane's Furniture to get your certificate to go take pizza. Somebody gave me one. And I'm walking across the parking lot in just T-shirt and flip-flops and so forth, my wife. And somebody from across the parking lot, a perfect stranger, says, "Hey, pizza guy." My wife looked at me and I said, "I can't control this." So it went for pizza and it was a lot of fun until the Rays didn't contact me and changed. And then we went to cheeseburgers. So then it was a burger and it was hard to find a flag. And so I had my wife make a flag, incredibly creative seamstress. She would give Martha Stewart a run for her money, I really believe. And she created the flag that said, "King Me." So it was kind of like Checkers and Burger King. So that's what went on. Then we went to, if burgers weren't enough, then we went to Subs at Wawa. And that was a real challenge. But my wife, as I said, the ultimate seamstress, made a homemade sub hat that you have to look in the book to see it, to believe it. It's just kind of unbelievable. But then it was kind of the fact of, keep turning those pages into that, you'll find it. Then it was to, well, what do you put on the flag? You know, what do you put on the flag for a sub? And the Rays have used a promo for a long time. It says, "Raise up." Well, now I thought, okay, I know what we can put on the flag. So instead of "raise up," it said "raise sub." And so we held that up and, you know, people really got into it. And it's done wonderfully until we changed again. And now we're at Tijuana Flats and Tacos. And so I have found a taco flag that wasn't hard. And believe it or not, I already had a taco hat. That's scary in and of itself. But so we do that. And so the taco guy is now going down the aisle. And it's fun because people get into it. I've had a woman who was celebrating her 90th birthday who came and said, "Can I have a picture with you with a pizza flag?" And I was like, sure. I've had little league teams. All that to say, Nanette, it is the aspect of how do we able to involve a fan? How do fans become part of that experience? Hopefully that they got that experience good enough, felt good enough, that regardless of the score on the field, they want to come back because we had a good time.
You know, you're more than an usher, you're an ambassador. And, you know, I wanted to hear some of the heartwarming stories of helping little kids and their parents and some of the most memorable things for you. And then we're going to have you read a little excerpt from your book, "There's No Place Like Dome." Oh my God, that's so hilarious.
Yeah, I'm showing
you. The sub hat, folks. You got it. This book is just hilarious.
Yeah, it's meant to be fun. It's meant to be enjoyable. Two of my most memorable stories. One, I had a gentleman who was walking around through the seats long before the game had started, and I asked if I could help him, and he said no. He said, "I'm looking at seats that I was supposed to have with my son, but we're not going to be able to use it." And I said, "Well, what's the problem?" He said, "Well, my son got his stationed and sent to Afghanistan, pushed up, so he won't be able to come. He's coming tonight instead." So they came, and we tried to make an experience for them. I was able to obtain two camouflage Rays hats for them, was able to get a baseball and said, "You know, it's the best we can do for you. I hope you'll think about us." I meet so many people, but about 2 months later, a gentleman comes walking toward me with a smile like I should know him, and I honestly didn't know who he was. And then I look on his phone, and his son, this is the gentleman whose son is in Afghanistan, is on the line with his camo hat on, holding the ball and showing it and thanking me for doing it. And I'm like, why are you talking to me? You should be talking to your dad. But it made you feel good. I thanked him for serving us. But it was one of those kind of things that you're able to do. Perhaps one of the most touching experiences I had on Sundays, one of the best things the Rays do is we have Family Fun Day. And at the end of the day, the kids get to run the bases, which is a huge, huge opportunity for children to actually run the literal bases they've seen the players run. My job at that point in time, as people came down the steps, was to direct the parents toward home plate, direct the children to first. But periodically, out of the corner of my eye, I would see a gap in the line of people coming down. And that day, as I looked up, I purposely will smile because I don't want anybody to feel self-conscious. It could be a grandparent struggling getting down. It could be a parent having trouble with a stroller. I looked up, and about halfway up were a mom and dad and their son, who was probably 10, who was visually impaired. And he had his cane, and he would put it on the step, and he'd come down. He put it on the step and come down. And I thought, take all the time in your world. I smiled at the parents. I wanted them to know what was going on. Then that when that little boy put his cane on the field, and he knew what it was, his eyes lit up. He was like a kid on Christmas morning. And so he began to take his cane, and his parents let him go by himself. He went over, and when he got to first base, he put the cane on first base. And then he was off to second. I have immediately stopped the line. I thought, he needs this opportunity by himself, no interruptions. By the time he got around second, everybody knew what was going on. I'm getting chills now telling you this story again. This happened 12 years ago, probably. When he got to third, everybody started to applaud. The Ray team, the parents, other kids, and so forth. When he touched that plate, I'm convinced it was an experience in a game he'll never forget. And you know what? I haven't either. And that's part of the joy of being able to write a book like this, that I got to experience things like that that take place, that to see somebody have an experience at a ballpark that they might never get to do again. But he had that one day. He had that one moment.
Speaking of something you won't get to do again, how did you feel after the hurricane when you saw the destruction of the Trop? And this book now has become a legacy book.
Ironically and unfortunately, you're right. Most of it was written. It was through when we were working with St. Pete Press at the time. I live in an area of St. Pete that we had to evacuate, and we evacuated quite a distance away. But one of my daughters had stayed in a safe haven and not far from the Trop, matter of fact. And about 3:45 in the morning, she texted me and said, storm is big and so forth, but the Trop roof got blown off. I was like, what? Well, obviously, I couldn't go back to sleep, and I went and found a TV, because we were in North Carolina, so it was hard to find that video footage for a bit. But when I saw it, it was stunning. It took my breath away. Honestly, the best word I came up with, Annette, was I was grieving. A friend of mine got hurt. Once I knew that family and friends, and I do not want to put that on the same parallel of people who have lost their homes and lost all kinds of things, but the Trop is one of those places that's part of our cityscape. It's part of what we see. And even now, it's almost like I'm looking at it and it's naked. You know, I don't know what else to do. So it was very touching for me. And so even once technically the book was written, I did include a very last chapter in the book called Off Season with a picture of the roof of the Trop. I'd been blown off of that night of the storm. I felt like the book deserved that. I felt like it was in a place that this was current. This was what's on people's minds. And so it's been interesting to listen to people's stories to tell about what they remember of the Trop. And hence, it makes the title of the book even more. There's no place like Dome.
Absolutely. You know, from beers to tears, it's a unique look at Major League Baseball games through the eyes of, I won't say an usher, I will just say someone who is the best friend of baseball. And you were a baseball fan way back from Baltimore days.
Absolutely. Yeah, I grew up that way and have fond memories of the stadium there, and you know, to take a quote from Field of Dreams, having a catch with my dad. My dad died very young, when I was very young, but I have that. That's one of the vivid memories I have. And so baseball, even though I'm a big sports fan, baseball's probably tugged on my heart more than any other.
So without further ado, Bruce, will you do the honors of reading us a little excerpt from your wonderful book?
Well, this is right at the beginning. October 19th, 2008. The Tampa Bay Rays were one out from going to the World Series. The Devil Rays, which dropped the devil at the beginning of the season, were ready to accomplish the unimaginable. A franchise that had never finished at 500 in their existence, much less made the playoffs, was on the verge of history. David Price delivered the pitch, and Jed Lowry of the Red Sox hit a ground ball to second baseman Aki Iwamura, who cleanly fielded the ball and stepped on second base. The impossible just became possible. The Rays were going to the World Series. 40,473 fans erupted in euphoria. Everyone in Tampa Bay, whether they attended the game or watched it on TV, remembered where they were when that final out was made. This was my first season as a fan host and usher working at Tropicana Field. No question I remember where I was, on a cruise ship in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of San Francisco.
Bruce Reynolds, do you have some speaking engagements coming up, talks about the book coming up?
I do. The book has been surprisingly popular. We've been able to even get it into some significant people's hands. Joe Madden, former manager of the Rays, has gotten a copy. Kevin Cash, the present manager. Larry Rothschild, the very first manager of the Rays, all have copies of the book, along with Rick Vaughn, who was the initial PR director for the Trop. So it's been nice to kind of get that out there. But with the people, we had a great book launch right at opening day at Green Bench down here in St. Pete. And coming up on, best of luck, Friday, June the 13th, we're going to be at Ferg's, and we're going to be signing books again and just kind of seeing people and talking about, listening to people's stories and whatever. It's just fun to meet people. I will tell you, Nanette, this took a lot longer than I thought. It was a fun book to write. The weirdest thing is when people ask you to sign your book. That, and people I know, you know, people I really know, and I'm like, really? But it's kind of a fun part of the opportunity. The editing, I'm glad other people did it. When I'm really honest, and my English teachers would be embarrassed to say this, I don't really care if the period's inside the parentheses or outside, but that's why we have editors. And so that process. But that's what's coming up. I'm working on some other things of even trying to make the book available as far as proceeds, part of the proceeds going to a charity. You know, if you're doing a fundraiser or something, I'd be happy to come and give you part of the proceeds so that it would help a little league, for instance. So that's a little bit of the future where we're going.
Well, from cheers to crying in their beers, please do not miss. There is no place like Dome. Bruce Reynolds, we want to thank you for being in studio, and we look forward to having you back again.
Thanks. I appreciate it. It's been fun. Fun sharing the book.
Play ball.